Rats Andromeda, the most popular group in the galaxy today.
They have an incredible influence over young people, Buck. It's amazing.
Sounds like the Beatles.
The who?
No, not the who, the Beatles. It was a group that was popular around my time.
Well, Andromeda is quite a phenomenon, Buck. And possibly a disturbing problem as well.
Problem what?
Captain Rogers, data has shown that within minutes of an Andromeda concert broadcast from Music World, there is a 55% surge in youth crimes.
Frankly, we're puzzled and more than a little concerned. But I understand there were similar problems in your time.
Not really. Usually music gave kids something to believe in, to identify with. It was a powerful force, but a good one.
And now for part three of our three-part look and listen at Galactic Rock with guest Lee McCormick.
A minute ago, you mentioned great songwriters. I brought to mind Neil Young, who we need to touch on a little bit. And it's funny how Neil, there's a number of songs where he will just throw in a little bit of, like, about aliens or whatever. And you're like, what? Where'd that come from? I think that happens in Cortez, but this is off the top of my head. So I'd have to double check to see if there's something there. But in After the Gold Rush, the song, he has the line, "I dreamed I saw the silver spaceships flying in the yellow haze of the sun."
Well, I dreamed I saw the silver spaceships flying in the yellow haze of the sun. There were children crying and colors flying all around the chosen ones. All in a dream, all in a dream. The silver seed to a new home in the sun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seed to a new home.
You know, that's not the first or last incidents of having Neil get into sort of the sci-fi realm. And I have the album here. Let me just pull it out. I want to say 82, but I'm thinking it's 1983. We get the album Trans from Neil on Geffen Records, where he's using a vocoder for a good portion of the lyrics. Anyway, it's a great album. It's so underrated, and people certainly didn't know what to make of it at the time, but he has songs like Computer Age on it, We Are in Control, Transformer Man, Computer Cowboy, and Sample and Hold, and a redone version of Mr. Soul with the vocoder voice on it, and it all sounds so sort of futuristic. And on the cover, there's like an old 50s car with a hitchhiker, and beside it, there's like this modern, like super. It's an illustration, not a photo, but it's a car that looks like a streamlined DeLorean or something, and a guy who looks like he's just like a digital grid person hitchhiking as well. So, sort of Neil doing his thing for all of us in genre back in the early '80s.
But not the lonely one, to design. I need a unit to sample and hold. But not the lonely one, to design. Sample and hold. We'll send it out right away. Satisfaction guaranteed. Please specify. We know you need to find a unit to sample and hold.
and fall. Now you'll be satisfied when you energize and see your unit come alive.
Any favorite tracks from Trans?
That's one of my favorites. I love Sample and Hold, Computer Age, Transformer Man. It's like half of it is almost like acoustic, right? And the other half is like very electronic.
Yeah,
I love that one. Even a couple, the one before it too, it was maybe a couple before. Hawks and Doves has a song called Lost in Space on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not really about sci-fi, but the title is Lost in Space, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think at one point he has this like weird little, it's not computerized. It feels like it's like an octave higher or something that says a line and I can't remember what it is.
Out on the ocean floor, out on the ocean floor. What could be stranger than the unknown danger lies on the ocean floor.
Yeah, Neil's always pretty cutting edge. Like, you know, you would think that in some ways, like he and Bruce are very like, you know, of the earth, like just real tangible people, right? Mm-hmm. With their plaid and but Neil's not afraid to get into some weird territory here, that's for sure. And he actually did that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And also exploring technology too, right? You got to realize this is early 80s and he was being influenced by bands like Devo, some of the new wave stuff, using vocoders, different way to communicate, drum machines and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at our list. We have like a ton of stuff. We can probably do a full season that was just covering some of the stuff. I'll just touch quickly on some of them then. I had from the 70s, I had Rocket Man by Elton John. And by the way, I love William Shatner's reading of that. At first I remembered it as being sort of ironic, but actually find it a very touching delivery that he does.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. Zero hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space. On such a timeless flight. And I think it's going to be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me around again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm a rocket man.
Frankenstein by Edgar Wintergroup is one of my all-time instrumentals, favorite instrumentals, rock instrumentals. I saw him just recently with Ringo Starr and his all-star band up at Rama. And they did this, and it felt like a bucket list moment seeing this live. Realize that the dude not only does he play the keyboards on it, he does a sax solo on it, and then yeah. he does a drum solo on it with
plays the timbales, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's nuts. And it sounded so good. And also I'm thinking, how old is he right now? And he's like wearing his keyboard around his neck. You know, like that would kill me on a good day. Like, I don't know. And he's a massively tall man, or at least he seems to be.
Yeah, plus he's an albino. Those guys are from outer space, right?
There we go. That's what it is. That's what it is. And that probably goes into like us talking about Klaatu. So yeah, which is a little bit of our, we usually have a Beatles connection here because I'm such a Beatles head. But when Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft came out in 1976, people were saying that they thought that Klaatu was the Beatles, that they were, because there was no picture of the band on the album. So, and it's on Capitol Records, man. So it must be the Beatles, even though it sounds nothing like the Beatles, especially what the solo Beatles were doing at the time. Anyway, we get that track, which is a pretty cool track. And certainly in that, the band is named after the character from The Day the Earth Stood Still, and that they have this like whatever it is 7 or 8 minute epic about making contact. It's got to be considered for one of the most sci-fi songs of all time.
In your mind, you have capacities, you know, to telepath messages through the vast unknown. Please close your eyes and concentrate with every thought you think upon the recitation we're about to sing.
We also had a cover of that in 1977 by the Carpenters, which became a hit. I know I don't suspect it's really like this thing that is really gonna like appeal to you a lot, but any thoughts on that song, Lee?
I don't even know that song. I know the album. The album's got a picture of like a sun on it, right?
Yeah.
I've seen the album so many times in like record stores and in people's collection, but I actually couldn't recall it right now.
Okay. Well then, fair enough. And then here's sort of our just point form of a ton of stuff through the 70s. Come Sail Away by Styx, Spaceship Superstar by the Canadian band Prism. Cool note on that we have is that on March 6, 2011, the song was chosen as the wake-up song for the spaceship shuttle Discovery. And this was the last day that the crew of Discovery and the International Space Station were together before Discovery returned to Earth in the very last mission for Discovery.
I'm a spaceship superstar and got a solar power laser beam to jaw.
Really sort of don't want to mention Mr. Roboto by Styx, but I guess it belongs on our list. By the way, speaking of Styx, I do love the Eric Cartman version of Come Sail Away from South Park.
Vengeance. 'cause I've got to be free. Free to face the life that's ahead of me. I'm better than the captain, so climb it, babe. We'll search for to marry on every ship, but with a load out here.
I like his version of Tom Sawyer a little bit better.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. Butters was in the band then, I think. And then just a little sort of sidebar on some more Stephen King related things. The Welsh band The Alarm in 1984 did a song called The Stand, which is all about the book. It's got all the characters referenced. AC/DC gave us Who Made Who in 1985 from Maximum Overdrive. And the Ramones did a killer version of the theme song for Pet Sematary in 1989.
Under the arch of a weather steamboat, ancient goblins and wallows come at the grand light making a sound. The smell of death is all around. And at night when the cold wind blows, no one cares.
Anything to say about those ones there, Lee?
I love all those bands, all those songs. Speaking of the Ramones doing Pet Sematary, that's a great story that they, you know, Stephen King wanted the Ramones to do the song for his movie. So he invited them to his house for dinner. And I believe he told them kind of the plot of the movie. And Dee Dee went down in the basement and he wrote that song in like 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So
I think that's pretty great. It's one of their best songs. And
yeah.
Speaking of Ramones horror movie songs, one of my favorites by them is Chainsaw.
Oh, so good.
Off the first record, which is kind of based on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They take my baby away from them. But you'll never get that to die. You'll never get that to die.
And I love that Joey rhymes.
Yes.
He changes massacre to massacre.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Rhyme it with, he took my baby away from me. So
yeah,
the way you say massacre to massacre. I love that.
Yeah. I gave that a spin again today because I hadn't listened to it in ages. And like, yeah. It was weird because it was like this gray area. I couldn't recall the song. So I pulled out the record, put it on. And that cracked me up so much, that pronunciation of massacre. I made a note about that too. And you also included I Am Seeing UFOs, right?
Oh, man, that song. Like I said, there was a couple that came right to mind when we talked about this topic, and that's definitely one of them. I love that song. It's off a Dee Dee solo album called All Messed Up or something like that, or All Zonked. All Messed Up, I think it's called. And Dee Dee Ramone solo with Joey singing, and it's sounds like a great Ramone song with, you know, Joey's one of the greatest singers ever, singing about I'm Seeing UFOs.
Yeah. So it's weird, you know, we got a lot of, like, in the 70s and early 80s, if you were like a prog band, I guess in the 70s, there was a lot of sci-fi coming from prog bands. And then as the 70s especially turned into the 80s, we got a lot of horror-related things coming from metal bands. I had a note about Iron Maiden here, where on their first album, we have the song The Prisoner, which David and I did a full show on The Prisoner, the TV show, which there's a little excerpt of it from that album, which I guess is Number of the Beast, right?
Yeah, that's the third album, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. First one with Bruce. Yeah.
Recently, first album got Phantom of the Opera on it, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm saying recently because I'm an old fart. Recently to me means the year 2000. In the year 2000, from their album Brave New World, there you go again, we got the song The Wicker Man, and we just did an episode on the film The Wicker Man. So yay, Iron Maiden.
And the title track too, Brave New World, that's based on some book or whatever the book, yep. Right?
Yeah, Aldous.
The thing about Maiden too is I thought was Somewhere in Time was their record from 86, which has got Caught Somewhere in Time, which is like a time travel song. And even the cover of that album has got Eddie it's almost like a Blade Runner vibe to the front of the cover. And Eddie's like in this trench coat with this gun. It's like a sci-fi vibe, and it's like a time travel kind of thing.
Yeah, those are some of the best covers out there, those Iron Maiden covers. Yeah. I wanted to mention too, in terms of like imagery, some great albums. Ringo Starr's 1973 album, Goodnight Vienna. It's a parody of the image from The Day the Earth Stood Still. So again, that's another Klaatu thing we have coming back to the show. Boston's 1976 debut self-titled album. Has that iconic cover design by Paul Scheer, and it's illustrated by Roger Hyson. So it's got the guitar-shaped spaceships, and they're escaping and exploding, an exploding planet Earth. And I mean, that's just classic rock album cover. Any that you are some of your favorites, Lee, in terms of like rock covers?
What about that that Supertramp Crime of the Century?
Oh yes,
remember that one? Yeah. This outer space and the hands going through that grate or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, and it always reminds me of the Phantom Zone from
Superman 2.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I
it's
you know
also
what?
Fragile, right? The by Yes, the Fragile LP had a nice cover of the whole Earth, and I think there was, I'm not sure, it was an explosion or what was going on the cover.
Yeah,
I have to call it up.
There were a couple of things, and we'll let me know when you get that, David. Yeah. There were a couple of things that I wanted to mention before we sort of push towards an end here. I have this sort of under the category of one of these days, Alice, pow, zoom to the moon. And this is about music that has been sent into space. In 1977, Voyager was sent into deep space with two solid gold 12-inch albums, and they contain mostly classical music, but Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Goode makes the cut. And you know, some people were pissed off about that, like, yeah, you can't put rock and roll on there. And one of their responses was like, rock and roll is music for adolescents. And somebody, I think it was Carl Sagan, said, well, there's a lot of adolescents on the Earth, so let's go with it. November 12, 1969, Apollo 12 was launched by NASA, and the astronauts had at least one mixtape, which included Suspicious Minds by Elvis and Son of a Preacher Man by Dusty Springfield, which is two good tunes to have with you if you're going to leave the Earth, I think. In 2008, Across the Universe by the Beatles was beamed by NASA directly into space.
You know, Troy, in all our excitement, we forgot to mention astronaut Chris Hadfield's rendition of David Bowie's Space Oddity aboard the International Space Station, recorded in May of 2013.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Lock your Soyuz hatch and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. commencing countdown, engines on. Detach from station and may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade. And the papers want to know whose shirts you wear. But it's time to guide the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. Left forevermore, and I'm floating in a most peculiar way, and the stars look very different today. For here am I sitting in a tin can.
What did you think of his rendition?
Oh, I think it was incredible. It just gives me goosebumps to hear it or see it. And it just feels like the song was written for that moment. Who knew?
You know, yeah. Chris Hadfield, guitar, singing,
right?
Space Oddity. Who could have figured that this guy was a star in three different areas?
I know, and I always wondered too, like, what did the NASA folks think? You know, like, everybody's like getting their space stuff on. It's like, and Chris Hadfield's packing gear. Like, it's almost like he needs roadies rather than the regular NASA guys, you know? It's like, oh, you're bringing a guitar. Oh, okay, then.
Well, that may be part of Canadian astronaut training, is the ability to play guitar and maybe four strong winds. May be a requirement. Like, if you can't play four strong winds on a guitar and sing it,
I'm sorry, God.
But you can't be in, because that's one of those songs that I think Neil Young would sing at every one of his concerts because he loved it so much.
Yeah, it's a Grady and Sylvia song, and it's one of those ones that gives me chills. Four strong winds.
Well, it's one of my favorite songs for sure. And one of the other things about Chris Hadfield is that Maple Leaf fans, and there are a few out there, may recall the puck drop for the home opener of the Toronto Maple Leafs on January 21st, 2013. Do you remember that, Troy?
Well, in all honesty, I didn't remember it either. I don't know if I was working that night or I was in my my sort of once a decade, I'm not watching any hockey moods, but it was spectacular. And as you mentioned to me earlier, that it was just like a brilliant decision, you know, on behalf of I guess Leafs PR to do this.
Well, to connect with him, like, it was, home openers are not generally on January 21st of any year. They're in October kind of thing, so, or late September. So with that, I and this was way before COVID, this was back in 2013, so it must have been a strike season, and they came back and everyone was happy about coming back. They tied in with Chris Hadfield because he had just gone up in December of that year, and he's also the first Canadian to become the commander of the actual space station. And the concept of him holding the puck and getting the honorary, because it's a great moment to be the person who drops that puck at the first home opener of a hockey game. They always have some guest or some connection to that hockey team's past.
Right.
And to have him drop, and the idea of him dropping the puck on the spaceship, and of course, he lets go of the puck and it just hovers there. So, which is just beautiful because that ties in space and rock with him, of course, doing Space Odyssey. But then, of course, he has to grab it and throw it down, in which case they brought in Daryl Sittler, Johnny Bauer, and Darcy Tucker to also be involved. And that was one of the great memorable moments of a home opener for those diehard Maple Leaf fans who have been hoping against all hope. I mean, a man has walked on the moon, I think, 18 times. 18 different men have, or whatever the right number is, or 16 have, you know, there have been all those missions to, you know, since July of 69, the least last one in, what was it, in 67?
Yep.
It's been too long, but yep. Maybe we've gone off topic.
And well, the thing is, yeah, and, you know, Americans have played golf on the moon, but who has dropped a puck but our own Chris Hadfield? I just had a question for you guys. Like, what song would you want to beam into space if you could pick one? I have three here. And this was just off the top of my head. I had one was Fuck You by CeeLo Green, just because I thought, you know, if we're going to be honest about it, that's sort of a sentiment. And it's also nice to have a little bit of an R&B groove going on. I had I Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis, because you have to have just a classic love song. And to me, that's like the epitome of that genre. It still gives me chills. And the other one is like Pushing Boundaries. I went for Strawberry Fields Forever by the Beatles. What would you guys want to send out there to intelligent life?
I don't know, man.
I'll jump in for one while you think, Lee. I would have Turn It On Again from Genesis, from I think it was the Duke album, because I've been listening to that more recently, and I was always a fan of Genesis, the various incarnations, the different versions and how they evolved and changed over the years. But that Turn It On Again, which I've seen some podcasts about how they actually created that song, and they tried to do it some years later, found it difficult because of how complicated and how it's somehow like 11-12, whatever it is, there's just some... what they did to create that was difficult for them to even do again. But Turn It On Again would be one of the songs I would send out.
I like to hear Johnny Cash in space, like something from something from the 50s, something like Get Rhythm or Big River, like one of those record songs where it's just three guys and that sound, right? That sound, like that, the echo, the reverb, the sound of his voice. Imagine Johnny Cash's voice echoing in space. That would be incredible, right?
Yeah, I feel like there should be some Cash out there, and I'd love to hear Jackson.
Yeah, I just think it would be great for any kind of alien life to hear the voice of Johnny Cash. I think that would be good.
Yeah, I love the dynamics of Jackson too. Like, it's just really cool that you have this couple and there's like this tension, like it's like there's a sexual tension and there's just all kinds of tension in that song, you know.
I would put in some jazz. Like if you're gonna have all kinds of different kinds of music and send it into space. One of the things that I think introduced us all to jazz was the Christmas, the Charlie Brown Christmas back in the 60s with Vince Guaraldi, and that Christmas Time Is Here song. So I think that's a beautiful piece of music.
Yeah. You want to represent Earth, right? The humans, right? Our the voice of a human. So I don't know, you want to represent it with the best of the best, right? So, I don't know, put a Aretha Franklin song, put a Whitney Houston song, something which shows the voice like that too, right?
Duke Ellington.
Singing Star Spangled Banner. That's pretty incredible.
There was actually a release in 1996, which I still have on cassette. There was a compilation record tying in with the X-Files called Songs in the Key of X. And it was really cool because the tunes actually do really have the feel of that show. And it featured musicians like Frank Black, Sheryl Crow, Nick Cave, William S. Burroughs. I think I've got that on CD too, and I should see if I can find a vinyl version of it. I thought I would be remiss if I did not share with all of our listeners, as sort of a sidebar thing, there was an episode of Buck Rogers in the 25th century. First season, the episode's called Space Rockers. Stars Jerry Orbach as a 25th century record producer who was planting subliminal messages in the music of his biggest act, Andromeda. The hidden messages caused teens to riot and do his bidding. Until rock and roll loving Buck comes to the rescue. Two notes from the Buck Rogers wiki on this wiki. Sorry, wiki. I'm thinking Tweaky, the robot.
Why don't you make like a fuse and blow?
Two notes from the Buck Rogers wiki on this episode. They say that the song Andromeda, that's the band, plays in the episode, is an actual song called Odyssey Part 1. It was released as a single in 1980.
Long live rock and roll, Buck.
All right.
The episode was named the worst science fiction episode ever by Internet Review of Science Fiction, which I find hard to believe because, for me, we've said this in the past, like, I enjoy a good B movie, and I mean something that is entertaining. I don't care how quote unquote bad it is, but if it's, you know, entertaining, I'm happy. And this was an entertaining episode. David, is there anything you,
Yeah, I wanted to do just a couple things real quick, because I prepared some stuff just a couple minutes or maybe
sure.
2 minutes on
sounds good.
Times when rock stars appeared in genre movies and TV. Mick Fleetwood appeared in a Star Trek Next Generation episode. You wouldn't recognize him because he was dressed up as almost like a fish-like kind of creature, almost like an Admiral Akbar kind of character. But Tom Morello, who was in a Voyager episode, well, he wasn't wearing any of that makeup stuff, so that was just Tom Morello. And one of the things I liked was a series called Sliders, and Roger Daltrey appeared in an episode or two of Sliders some years ago. But certainly over the years, there have been many people who have stars who have appeared in science fiction, fantasy, or horror. And one thing I did copy was Eminem actually had a song called Godzilla. Crash Test Dummies, of course, had the Superman song. Three Doors Down had Kryptonite.
And there's the BOC Godzilla, which I love.
Yeah, Blue Oyster Cult. And then there was things like soundtracks, like the Flash Gordon soundtrack that Queen did. Guardians of the Galaxy had a great selection of music and so on.
Redbone.
Yes, exactly. But that's it. This is just a very rough overview, but it's kind of cool just seeing your fans or seeing people that you cared about. Also, of course, we should not get through this episode without mentioning the Phantom of the Paradise, which was late 70s. Yeah, Paul Williams, exactly, as a record record producer kind of thing, and almost a Phantom of the Opera kind of thing, because I think the main character gets squished in this record-making thing. And it's actually better than it sounds. It was actually
a
pretty good movie.
Yes, De Palma, right?
Oh, it was.
Pretty sure. Yeah, you couldn't lose with Brian De Palma in the 70s.
Yep. But that's all I got. So if Roth wants to continue with what you got going on,
I thought one of the ways we could wind down here is in place of, usually, see, Lee, we do a thing called dream casting when we're talking about a film. And what we do is we put in, you know, alternate actors that could have played in a film. But I thought what we could do in lieu of that today is come up with our all-time galaxy all-star band. So you and I have thought a little bit about that. Do you want to give me yours?
This is a tricky thing, because when you put together these like all-star superstar bands, like, you can take guys from certain bands and take them out of their bands, put them somewhere else, and it doesn't really work, right?
Right.
If I'm going to put together the best band, I would probably just choose all of the 1978 Rolling Stones kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because if you take pieces of them and say I put like Bill Wyman with Eddie Van Halen, it might not work, even though they're two great guys, right?
Yes, so, and that's true, because that's the whole thing about great bands, is that there's chemistry.
Yeah.
And it's hard to mess with that chemistry. But
like we're
so, we'll pretend you and I are geniuses, and we have the ability to be like Svengali's that can make it work.
Pull the strings. All right. So for drums, I would probably have to choose Charlie Watts, because he's my absolute favorite musician, any instrument, definitely my favorite drummer. But the one thing about Charlie is he's not really versatile to play with like every genre of music, every band. He's got his own style, which is always going to be good, right? So my runner-up would be someone like Anton Figg, who's very versatile and he can play anything, right? So I don't know, if you toss up between those guys, it's hard for me not to pick Charlie on drums. As far as bass, the two guys that came to mind would be either Duck Dunn, the Stax guy, Booker T, yeah, and the MGs on bass, or James Jamerson, the Motown guy, right? So any of those guys, yeah, either of those guys I would pick on guitar, on bass. Guitarists, just going to go with a couple of my favorites, right? I thought about picking Ace Frehley because he's sci-fi, right? He would fit probably pretty good in this galactic, uh-huh, band. Uh-huh. But I'd have to pick Brian Setzer, and I kind of have to pick Keith Richards. So probably those two guys, maybe Ace Frehley would fit in there. Maybe a trio. Can I get three guitars? Can I put,
yeah, you can do what you like. Yeah.
All right. Because if we're going this galactic all-star band, I got to have Ace Frehley in there. The space.
Yes.
Yeah. Keys, probably Booker T. Probably Booker T.
Or, oh, good call. Yeah, yeah.
You know, if I had to pick a runner-up on second place, probably Burton Cummings. And for vocals, you say I get two vocalists, so I'm going to pick a guy and a girl. I'm going to pick Elvis Presley, my favorite vocalist, and I'm going to pick Cyndi Lauper as my favorite female vocalist, as the other vocalist for my galactic all-star band.
Nice. I like that. I like that. Yeah, you know, first of all, I totally concede to what you said about, you know, the chemistry. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to keep to like the sci-fi thing, but I think in all reality, my drummer probably wouldn't work in this case, but we'll see. We'll see. So I started with Neil Peart on drums because I figured he could also be the lyricist, you know, so he'd be giving you your whatever by tour and his red barchettas and whatnot. On bass, I had to go with Bootsy Collins.
Yeah, the devil knows him.
That's a good choice. He's very spacey. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got the star glasses. So I went with Bootsy. And again, because of my recent experience seeing him do Frankenstein live, I went with Edgar Winter on guitars. And also I think he has that weird look too, you know, that like, imagine like Bootsy standing in front of Edgar Winter. I mean, that's just an image in itself.
Yeah.
So I agreed with you. I had to have Ace Frehley in there as well. On guitar, again, just like, you know, probably the most iconic of the sci-fi stage musicians. I also included Eddie Hazel from Funkadelic on guitar. See, this is the thing. Like, I'm thinking this is such a great band, but then I don't know if Neil Peart can play on the one. You know, it's like he can do a lot of shit, but I don't know if he can play on the one with Bootsy and the other guys.
All your guys are like space guys. Like I just pick kind of my favorite guys.
Well, that's my, you know,
and what I usually that go for like a space band. Like I'm putting together like the guys who are going to play with the Cantina band in Mos Eisley.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I know. And that's my fault for not explaining the brief a little bit better. But, and so
Troy, I threw something together too. Once you finish up yours.
Yeah, and sure. Oh, great. Great. I'm glad you did, David. So I actually also not cheated, but I improvised. I added a background vocalist. And so I went with Cindy Wilson from the B-52s to do all those high parts and the,
yeah, they've what's their Planet Claire?
That's what, yeah, that's, yeah, 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 yep. So I gave you everybody except my vocalists, and I have two vocalists, and I'm not even sure how well they would mesh. I think they would have to alternate. But I had Elvis. I just want. How do you not have Elvis? Right?
Yeah, if anybody's gonna sing, you gotta have. Yeah, Elvis.
And Bowie. I went with Ziggy era Bowie.
Yeah.
And then I was like immediately, I kind of want to hear how Elvis and Bowie and Cindy Wilson would sound together. Like, I'm kind of excited about that. I want to somehow like go mess with their DNA and bring them back to have that. Do a little Pet Sematary action.
Yeah.
But Yeah, that's me. So, David, what do you have for your Galaxy All-Star band?
The drummer. I start with the drummer. And if you remember the reboot of Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yes.
With Edward James Olmos and so on. Uh-huh. When there was any battle scenes and any scenes in space, there was drumming sounds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's drumming in space. So I want that drummer.
That Hans Zimmer sort of thing going on. Yeah.
Yes, because in Star Trek it was swoosh, swoosh. And here there's drums beating. And I thought that was brilliant. So I want that drummer from Battlestar Galactica. Now, I don't know if it's Mad Max Fury Road, but there was this guitarist strapped to the front of a car or something just playing guitar like his life depended on it. I want that guitarist. And it's funny you mentioned the Cantina band. I want Max Rebo on keyboards. I want some blue like elephant playing keyboards for me. And the singer has to be that blue, the woman that's in blue, the opera singer from Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They mention that it's the singing is the Albanian opera singer Inva Mula Chako. And it's actually the character, that's the voice of the actual diva. The person that played it was French actress Maouen Lebesca, who was then wife of Luc Besson. So, and the other close would be in the original Battlestar Galactica series, there was this woman that was, this group of women that were singing that had two mouths, if you remember that.
Yeah.
And Starbuck is there, and then they, with a lower voice, broke a glass, and he was thinking, oh, I've got to somehow get involved and be their manager. So if you remember that from the original Battlestar Galactica series, maybe they could also be backup vocals. So that would be my band.
Excellent. I just realized I need a theremin player too. So, I was thinking Brian Jones. I was thinking Brian Jones, but Jimmy Page could. Yeah, yeah. Both versatile musicians. So.
Yeah. Hey, David, you mentioned Max Rebo there. You know what I really despised is when Lucas did those the special editions. He took out Lapty Neck from the original version and he put in this new song musical sequence. It's awful. Like it's one of my favorite songs, Lappy Neck. That song out, and they put this weird like Disney animated thing in there. Oh, it's garbage.
I thought something was going on with that.
Yeah, you gotta have Lappy Neck, and they also removed the, and we're talking Return of the Jedi here, the final scene where they're all celebrating with the Ewoks and they're playing that song, jump jump da 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 da, jump jump da 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 da, hum ne tune na.
Yeah,
song, right? And they removed that song too, and they put this weird sequence where they're showing people celebrating all over the galaxy with
this, I thought this something was going
garbage,
on there.
Garbage, man. Awful.
Ugh.
Yeah. Well, I've got to say that obviously
Cy Snoodles. How can we forget Cy? Thanks, Lee, for that. Because Cy Snoodles
got great lips, yeah.
Clearly, you know. In a show like this, we could not go through everything, and you would not want us to go through everything. But we know that there are certain sort of obvious oversights. We didn't touch on things like Tangerine Dream and Vangelis and ELP or ELO or any of the other EL bands. But we did our best to cover what we could. Lee, we really want to thank you again for dropping by and making your debut on to Old Farts Talk Sci-Fi. Hopefully we can get you back again if it wasn't too painful. But anything you want to share? Anything you want to let us know what you're doing lately, or anything you want to get out there to people, or how they can find you, or what have you? This is your moment, man.
Sure, cool. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Always great to talk rock and roll and sci-fi speculative genre theme. That's always great. So people can check out my podcast, Tramps Like Us, a Bruce Springsteen podcast, which is focused on Bruce Springsteen, but we also do sidecasts called Rockin' and Rollin' and Whatnot, where I talk about different genres, different musical artists that I love. So you can find that, Tramps Like Us, wherever you find great podcasts. And if you're inclined to check out some of my music, that's my main passion, some of the music I do, the easiest place to do is moonviolet.com, which will link you to my Facebook page for all my music endeavors. You can check out some stuff there. And specifically, I encourage you to check out my new release, well, my latest release, Train to Heartbreak, which I recorded at Sun Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, and that was a great thrill. So you can check out that video on YouTube, Train to Heartbreak by Lee McCormick, where you can see a little video of clips of me recording that at the legendary Sun Studio, where Billy Lee Riley and his Little Green Men recorded Flying Saucer Rock and Roll back in the late 50s there.
Incredible. And the 45 is still available to buy, right?
Yeah, you can get it and contact me via the link there, moonviolet.com. And I think if you look at the YouTube video, there's some contact details there in the comment section.
Excellent. And I will definitely, I want to give a testimonial for Tramps Like Us too. It's been one of my favorite podcast for the past 5 years. Whenever, like, you can't lose, like, there's so much there. There's, if you like music at all, you're going to find something you love on that show.
You and I did an episode as well, right, Troy? We talked about some of the Springsteen references with Stephen King books and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, and I got to relive my sort of watching Bruce do his sound check at the gardens.
Yeah,
on the river
tour. That's cool. Yeah, for sure.
But Lee, thank you so much for being our guest. That was great. And that's our Galactic Rock episode.
Okay, you can check us out on all our socials. Our Facebook page is really happening. Please give us some feedback. We're Two Old Farts Talk Sci-Fi on Facebook. Our website is 2of.ca. And perhaps we still have a Twitter account. I have to double check on that. It's been a while. But do all of the liking and subscribing and friend telling, please, because we love you and we would like to have more to love. That's it from me.
Well, I am David Kling.
And I am Troy Roth Harkin.
See you all for our next episode of Two Old Farts
Talk Sci-Fi.
Ever since the robotic uprising of the late 90s, there is no more unhappiness.
Affirmative.
We no longer say yes. Instead, we say affirmative.
Yes, affirmative.
Unless we know the other robot really well.
There is no more unethical treatment of the elephants.
Well, there's no more elephants, so... But still, it's good. There's only one kind of dance, the robot. Two kinds of dances.
But there are no more humans.
Finally, robotic beings rule the world.
The humans are dead. The humans are dead. We used poisonous gases. And we poisoned their asses. The humans are dead.
The humans are dead.
The humans are dead.
They look like they're dead.
Done.
I'll just confirm that they're dead.
So that we can have fun.
Affirmative.
it was dead.